Our passage of scripture tonight is Psalm 28, a psalm of David. To you I will cry, O my Lord my God. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people, and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, and bear them up forever. The title of my sermon tonight is Needing and Pleading. And none of us wants to be thought of as needy, and yet all of us are. All of us need the Lord, even if we need nothing else. And here, David signs his name to the fact of his need. Even though he was a king, he still had needs, and his needs were related to the Lord. Here, Psalm 28 is titled the Psalm of David, just like the last few psalms that we've been going over. And David was the second king of Israel, and apart from Christ, he was and is known as the greatest king of Israel. David is called in Scripture a man after God's own heart, as it says in Acts 13:22, and when he had removed him, referring to Saul being removed, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. That's who David was. The essence of who he was. Whatever his sin was, his heart was to do the will of God. And yet he was a needy man. David cries to God. He sings in a way that shows his great need. He needs God to hear and to answer his prayer. Notice how this is written. He says, to you I will cry. And when we think of crying, we think of begging and being, you know, very emotional and in need. And he says, O Lord, my rock, do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you. There's that word again, cry. When I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. What we see here, even in this very first verse, is a passionate prayer called twice a cry. And it is a cry to God. To you I will cry. And here it is a cry to the Lord, the name of God. And David calls him Rock. And when we call God Rock and David calls Rock, he means his security, his fortress, his place of safety. As Martin Luther would say in his song, a mighty fortress is our God, and a good rocky hill would be a fortress in those days as they were battling, and God himself was David's rock. David's fear was God's silence. He says, "Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." If God was not with David, David felt that he would be no different than those who are heading to hell. And that is true of all of us. If we will not, to God now plead, how quickly down to hell we will speed. We need to pray to him. God helps us. He keeps us from falling in the ways that we would surely fall. As I've wrote before, the law of depravity is a lot like gravity. It always pulls us down, down, down. And David was somebody who knew that. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, he was a man who sinned greatly. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls." David's fear was silenced from God, God being silent. And David's other fear was being judged with the wicked. He says, "Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity." Well, where do the wicked, where are they taken to? They're taken to hell. And David is pleading, "Don't take me to hell. Please don't take me there." Why would he ask something? Why would that be such a fear? Well, the one thing we sadly have in common with the wicked, and David had in common with the wicked, is sin. As it says in Scripture, Romans 3:10 and 11, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God." David could look back at Saul, and Saul broke some of God's laws, and God gave up on him and took away the Holy Spirit from him and put an evil spirit inside him, and Saul went from bad to worse. And when David sinned, he could have feared the same thing, that God would take this Holy Spirit from him, and that just like his predecessor, he could be taken over by Satan and go downhill really fast. Yet this is the difference between the godly and the wicked, and that is they are given God-given sorrow for sin. Jesus says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And here we see David is crying. And what is he crying about? What is he fearful of? He's crying about his sin. He's crying and fearful that he's going to be taken with the wicked, that he's going to end up in hell. Here's a man who's done great things. He's defeated Goliath. He's had all these strong things in his life. And yet what does he fear? He fears that his soul may not be saved. When Jesus says, "Blessed are they that mourn," he's talking about mourning over sin. And we should be sorrowful over sin. What is he talking about when he says mourning over sin, other than an extreme mourning? It's a loud cry like David has here. And note what David feared is what Jesus said that he and we should fear. In Luke 12:4-5, Jesus says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Luke 12:4-5. David didn't have any fear of Goliath. All Goliath could possibly do was kill David's body. And I don't believe, sometimes I've heard preachers say, they say that, well, David was very scared of Goliath and he had to work up some kind of faith. Well, I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. He wasn't afraid of Goliath at all. He was very confident that he would win that battle. And yet, who did he fear? Well, he feared God. He feared that his sins might drag him down to hell. And Jesus said, that's who we should fear. We should fear God. We should fear Him who is able not only to kill us, but to take us to hell. And so David had the right kind of fear. He did not fear men, but he did fear God. Third, as he is mourning, praying, and crying, David outlines the characteristics of the wicked. It's like he's going and he's thinking about the wicked, and now he's going to tell us something about them. And first, he tells about their employment. Their employment is iniquity. And with the workers of iniquity. The way it says it, it's like that's their job, to do sin, to do wrong. They think they're getting paid. You know, there's that old saying, crime does not pay. Now, that's true, but a lot of people who do crime think that it pays. They think they're getting off with it. And many times it is a thing that pays them in some way. He goes on and he says, they speak peace when they have evil in their hearts. Verse 5, he says, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Eventually, even Israel's own prophets would descend into this sin. As Jeremiah tells us, they have healed the hurt of my people, slightly saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And we have so much of that in the church today. Preachers no longer want to talk about sin or hell or any of these kind of things. And why is that? Because people don't want to hear about those things. And they close their ears to those things, and they don't go to those churches that speak about those things. And yet those are the things we need to hear. We can't say peace, peace when there is no peace. Such people are surely worthy of punishment. That's what the next verse says. Verse 6, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. But David fear being with such people? Well, he did. Why? Because, well, if you think of it, sometimes David was like that, wasn't he? At least once in his life. He talked about somebody who speaks peace, but evil was in his heart. And when he talked to Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, first he wanted him to take a vacation. Why did he want him to do that? Well, he wanted to hide his own sin by allowing Uriah to go with his wife. And then when Uriah didn't do that, David had another idea for Uriah. You're such a warrior, Uriah. I love you. We need to put you in the front lines in front of everybody. He did that. Why? Because he knew that Uriah would be killed. He was doing just what he said that others, you know, he promised peace, he spoke kindly, but he had evil in his heart. He wanted to cover up his own sin, and he was willing to kill Uriah to do that. And so this is maybe why he wonders, I don't want to be placed with the wicked. Did he deserve to be placed with the wicked? He did. He did deserve it. But God was gracious towards him. He did as sinful as almost anybody in that. Fourthly, though, David receives his answer to prayer and blesses the Lord. Bless me, the Lord, because he heard the voice of my supplications. Even with all David's sin, he prays to God and he cries to God, and God hears him. What a wonderful thing. And notice he's not happy until he's certain that God has heard him. And until he's certain he has the answer to prayer. Has God ever answered your prayers? How should we thank and praise God for answered prayer? Well, here David shows us. First, David called God his own. In verse 7, he says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And so he's claiming God as his strength, as his shield. Goliath, he had strength, didn't he? He was a big man. And he had a shield, even a shield bearer. You know, it says about Goliath, a champion went forth out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. This is verse 4 of 1 Samuel 17, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That is, according to the Reformation Study Bible, that is 9 feet 9 inches. He'd tower over. Imagine him playing basketball today. Goliath would be almost undefeatable. Goliath's strength was seen in his physical size. David's strength was in the immortal, invisible God only wise that we sing about. That was his strength. As strong as Goliath was, there's no way he could fight with God. He had a bronze, it says, as you go on in 1 Samuel 17, talking about Goliath, it says he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. And you know how they knew all these weights of his armor? How did they know all that? Because David had killed him, cut off his head, and he could leisurely carry these things back to the scale, get them weighed. That's how they knew. He was dead. It says, then he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I will defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Notice everybody else. Saul and all his men were afraid of Goliath. And most people would be afraid of Goliath. But David was not. But David feared his own sin. He feared hell. He feared God. That's the difference between a godly person. He fears his sin will kill him. He fears his wrong ways will hinder him. He fears God might judge him. But he doesn't fear Goliath. He doesn't fear what normal people might fear. What ordinary, especially people who have not that kind of faith. David trusted God. My heart trusted him and I am helped. Psalm 28:7a. Trust and faith is needed for answered prayer. As James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. And David trusted God. And he believed when he prayed that he can find an answer and get an answer from God. And so he kept praying and he prayed with great tears. And when God was silent, as he says in this psalm, he kept crying to God until he heard from him. David rejoiced. When he had the answered prayer, it says, therefore my heart greatly rejoices. In his heart he was rejoicing, and obviously he sang this song, and it's in our Bible, as he had others sing it. And we are to rejoice in the Lord similarly, always. As Paul writes to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. And we know that when Paul says that to the Philippians, he was almost like David in his faith. because he and Silas had been thrown into prison. And they were praying, it says in Acts 16:25, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. This is after they were beaten with rods and they were chained, and probably not a very comfortable place. I doubt they gave them even a nice mattress. They were probably laying on the ground, and yet they were praising God, singing hymns, probably because they were in too much pain to fall asleep. And at midnight, the place was shaken. And the jailer almost kills himself because he thinks his prisoners had escaped. But Paul calls out and tells them they're still there. And he says to them, "What must I do to be saved?" And so because they were rejoicing in the Lord at a time when most people wouldn't rejoice, God used them in another person's life for his salvation, and not just his, but his whole family. If we rejoice in the Lord when he allows trials, we should definitely rejoice and pray more when he smiles on us with answered prayer. Paul praises God when they're in the middle of prison after they had been beaten. That's when they were singing. They didn't wait till after the miracle. They were singing before the miracle. And yet David here has his answered prayer. And surely in answered prayer we should sing and praise God. He says, "And with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed." Now, anointed there, that word is Messiah. And it could be reference to Christ, but David was also anointed as a king. Not quite the same, but he was. "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever." There he who was a shepherd and who would be the shepherd of Israel asked God to shepherd his people. And that's what we do as well when we pray. And we should pray like David did, not just for himself, but after he got his answer to prayer, he prayed the same thing for everyone else. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for his prayers, his cries, his tears, his prayers and fears of going to hell, even though he was a man after your own heart. And yet also he was not afraid of Goliath, when everybody was, even King Saul. And so he had a fear of things that should be feared, meaning you and sin and hell, but not of those things, even death or Goliath or these things that a lot of people are. And so, Father, we pray that we'd learn from David and that we would learn from him how to pray. Teach us, Lord, to pray, and help us not to give up in prayer until we have the answer. We pray, thank you for that, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.